Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Well, good luck today, Stan called, reaching for his keys. Isn't this the day you take Sammy to Dr. Peterson? Yes, came Rhoda's voice through the bedroom closet. I'm sort of dreading it, though.
Yeah?
Stan came in to give his wife a peck on the cheek before going to grab his coffee. But you just have to look at it in a positive way. Maybe he can give us some ideas of what to do about Sammy's weight. There have to be some answers. Rhoda sighed.
You're right. I just don't relish the conversation. It's sort of embarrassing. I don't even know what I'm going to say.
Come on, Stan tried to cheer her up. You'll think of something. And remember, you always said Dr. Peterson's a nice guy. He'll understand.
From a parent's perspective, how can we best talk with our child's doctor about awkward issues? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Dr. Herbert Solomon has been a pediatrician in private practice for 36 years. He's active in a number of professional organizations and was even once named Pediatrician of the Year by Washington Family Magazine. He has 5 children and 6 grandchildren. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Dr. Solomon.
Thank you, Linda and Sandy. Pleasure to be here.
What's the most important thing for parents to keep in mind when they talk with the doctor who's caring for their child?
Pediatricians are specialists in the care and the welfare of children. They are children's advocates and allies. They are usually keen observers and good listeners, and they really care about children. Our training usually includes growth and development, childhood illness, allergy, dermatology, hematology, all areas of childhood subspecialties, including psychiatry and behavior problems.
It sounds like a pediatrician's office would be a good place to leave a child for quite some time.
Well, some parents would like to do that, but we usually send them out with their parents. Pediatricians are not doctors who are taking care of small adults. We are children's specialists, and we take care of infants, children, adolescents, and even young adults. The other thing that pediatricians, I think, do very, very well is they have this wonderful opportunity to see the growth and development of an infant up to young adulthood. And we see lots of changes that go through this growth and development stage. And for me, the important thing is I feel as though that I have some influence, some small influence during these years. And you never know how it's going to come out. That's the interesting thing about it. One of my favorite letters of gratitude I got from a patient who I had seen for 18 years. She had decided to go into medical school and to start pre-med. And she wrote me a letter that basically said that not only did she think that I was a good doctor along the way, but she thought I was a good friend. Oh. And that gave me tremendous pride and gratitude. And she now is a practicing physician in Western Maryland.
Oh my goodness! What a good success story.
Yes.
How can parents best prepare to meet with their child's doctor for the first time or for any time?
We have been doing something special in our practice for 36 years now. We invited all the obstetricians in the area to send their obstetrical patients to us for a prenatal session. This session is a 1 to 1.5 hour session where couples come. We invite the fathers to come along with their pregnant wives and sit down with one of the pediatricians in our office and talk about the issues relating to birth, relating to the growth and development of their child, relating to seeing the physical space of the office, and also to ask any questions that they might like to ask regarding the birth of this child. these sessions have been tremendously useful in getting parents to relate to us more on a personal level, get to know our styles, have an opportunity to ask questions that may be anxiety-provoking areas for them before the birth of their child, and to just generally get a good feel for the office. The best part of the prenatal session is to go around the room and ask each individual couple why they're here, what they expect from their pediatrician, and if they have any specific questions they'd like to air before we come to the hospital to see their newborn. We also do private prenatal sessions where a couple may want to come in and talk to us privately about some issue that they would not like to share in a group, and those also have been quite successful.
Do you find that when they come to these things, especially in a group, they come with prepared questions, or they really haven't given this much thought? They don't know what's going on.
It's very interesting. Over the years, as parents have gotten more educated and as they have more sources of information, they come with more questions. They come with specific questions. If you're clever enough, you know which ones they have gotten off some of the resources that they use. But there isn't a prenatal session that I conduct where I don't hear a very, very unique question that's on somebody's mind. Some people come with a child in hand and they're pregnant for the second time and want to use our practice. So that's a very interesting process, too, where they're changing pediatricians for one reason or another. And again, they want to get a good feel for the pediatric practice that they're coming into.
When you're going to take your child to the doctor, what kinds of information should you bring with you as background to supply to the doctor?
This is a very, very important area. With the age of managed care, people are moving around all the time to different doctors, and it's no different with pediatricians. So it's not unusual for a certain percentage of our practice to turn over each year. The important thing about assessing any child in our office, if you're using the pediatrician for the first time and it's an older child, to bring medical records, a very, very important thing. As much information as we can glean from medical records, from talking to the patient and to the parents by getting a proper history, by seeing some specialty reports in the medical record, maybe school-related problems, psychoeducational testing results are very important. Laboratory tests that have been done in the past in children with chronic disease. All these things are very, very important. The most important thing, though, as far as I'm concerned, is to sit with the patient and the parent and get a careful history of the child's background and to do a good physical examination and then talk with the parent about what other things need to be done.
You brought up the managed care issue, and that's a sticky one for parents who worry that the doctor's going to say, well, time's up.
Well, you've hit on a very, very important point. Unfortunately, with managed care, doctors are more busy, and it's the same with pediatricians. We're a primary care specialty. We are expected to see a certain amount of patients each day just because of the high volumes of our primary care specialty. And what we try to do in the office is try to allot everybody time to give proper information to the doctor. If we're going over the time, what we like to do is stop the patient and basically give them permission to call us after hours and discuss any problems that we couldn't get to in the allotted time. And then we can, with that information, we can get them back in the office for recalls and talk about the problems that we didn't get a chance to discuss in the regular office visit. But it is very, very difficult nowadays to do the kind of care in the allotted time.
But that's why parents need to prepare before they come.
That's right. If they come with an agenda that's thought about and preset, it makes the office visit go a lot more smoothly, and we can get to a lot more, you know, informational things. The other thing that we do in the office that we've just formulated in the last couple of years is that we give a lot of written information in the office. We have sheets on everything from how to take a child's temperature to how you deal with obesity issues. You mentioned that, Sandy, when you first started, how to treat the child and care for the child with ADD, diabetic sheets, almost anything you can think of. We can. There's a bit of written information we have for advice. These are very, very nice because the parents can read them at their leisure, take it, the information out that they need, and then, you know, call us back if there are questions.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion about talking with your child's doctor.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Herbert Solomon about talking with your child's doctor. What's the most difficult issue for pediatricians to convey to parents?
I think one of the most difficult issues is that parents worry and have lots of anxieties about their children. And a lot of these worries and anxieties are actually things that fall within the normal range of children. And what I do as a pediatrician sometimes is I have to reassure patients all the time. And that's a reassurance is a wonderful, wonderful tool that the pediatrician has. Parents don't know that children get, for instance, get their teeth at different stages of their development. I had a nurse once whose child did not have first teeth until he's 21 months of age. And she kept asking me, is this kid ever going to get teeth? And I had my worries about him myself, but he was normal in every other way. And he finally erupted teeth at 21 months and had all his baby teeth by 2.5. But it was one of those issues that the mother worried about, and it fell within the range of normal.
I guess that's the nice thing, that the pediatrician sees so many kids and the parent only sees a scientific sample of 2 or 3 or whatever it is, and so they don't know.
That's correct. And I think pediatricians do that as well as anybody. I think what we're trained to do in any age of development is to detect what is outside the range of normal. And there's such a wide range of normal that that's the difficult job, to detect what's outside the range. So we do that well. We're trained to do it well. And most of the time, we find that kids are, you know, fall within that normal range. When they don't, when they're out of the normal range, like a developmental delay, or when they're growing too fast, or they're too obese, or they have too many illnesses a year, then further workup is needed to delineate some of those problems.
Now, you brought up a minute ago about after the appointment, having a calling time or whatever. What kinds of follow-up do you recommend after a medical appointment or a meeting with your child's doctor?
It depends on the problem, obviously, how much time we spend. But the follow-up is usually done like this. If there's a chronic problem, let's say a child is suffering from an ear, nose, and throat problem and has had 6 ear infections in that particular winter season, that's out of the range of normal, or maybe out of the range of normal. So that's the child that we want to see for follow-up after each ear infection to make sure that the antibiotics that we've chosen clear the ear infection. There are some children who are continually on antibiotics during the wintertime, which is something we don't like to do. We do not advocate the overuse of antibiotics, but some children really need to be on antibiotics to prevent ear infections. But what we do is close follow-up. If those ear infections are out of the range of what we would consider normal for any winter time or even rest of the year, we usually refer to a ear, nose, and throat specialist and see what he can add to the situation.
If I take my child to the doctor for a regular checkup or, say, a camp checkup, do I need to call back a week later or a day later Is there any kind of follow-up I need to have?
What we do in the office is if we're doing a regular camp physical or a regular school physical or sports physical, if we do any laboratory work like a complete blood count or a metabolic panel or a urinalysis, we make sure that all the doctors in the office review all that laboratory work themselves. If there's anything that needs to be discussed with parents, the doctor calls the mother back or the patient back if that's appropriate, to discuss the abnormal findings. If those abnormal findings need further office care, then we recall the patient back and let them come in where we can reexamine them and discuss the issues.
Now, talking about some of these issues, how do you recommend broaching some of the sticky issues where you really have a situation where the parent may be embarrassed or the kid may be embarrassed about it? You know, we've got, like we mentioned, childhood obesity or some things like that. How do you deal with that?
I like to take the what I call sort of the direct, honest, but soft approach. And I like to do this for a couple of reasons. I think when you're dealing with a sticky issue, you can, by definition, know that the parent is usually anxious about that particular issue and about his child. And we've done studies to know that when patients are anxious and parents are anxious, the information that you give them, only about half is really absorbed, and even less than half sometimes. So that's why I think the soft approach is a fruitful one. When you're giving information, if you give it in short spurts, then review it with the patient, let him understand or her understand what you're trying to accomplish, even have him verbally tell you what he's understood and what you said. That's a much, much better way than giving out 1,000 sheets on childhood obesity or giving out diets. I think it's important that chronic issues be handled in short little spurts where information can be absorbed and followed through better.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion about talking with your child's doctor.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parent's Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Herbert Solomon about talking with your child's doctor.
Now, how do you work it if you've got a child who's old enough to understand stuff and a parent? You talk to one of them first and then one of them second, or how do you do that?
As a general rule, I talk to all adolescent patients without their parents. The parent may come into the examining room with the child to start out with. And sometimes I will ask the parent, is there anything that you would like to share with me regarding Johnny's visit today? And the parent may bring up a few issues. But then I excuse the parent and say, this is an examination that I'd like to do just with Johnny alone. And I will call you back in the examining room after we finish. And that's what we do. I think it's important for teenagers to know that they've got an advocate who is listening to them, who is sharing information with them, and where their confidentiality is will not be broached.
But if you have a situation, for example, with childhood obesity is an easy one to sort of deal
yes.
with here, right? But if you have a situation where you've got that, but you're going to give the child a diet or you're going to give the child instructions about how to eat or something, then you would think the parent has to be in on this. How do you do that tightrope?
That's a good point, especially in childhood obesity. I get the parent back and discuss with the parent what the child and I have discussed. With the child in the room. And I tell the child that I'm going to bring the mother back and we're going to talk about these issues. Or I give the child the choice. I ask the child if they would like to talk to mom about this. I, I usually suggest it's a pretty good idea since mom is the meal planner in the family. But I also give the child the choice to make his decisions about what particular foods he would like to eat. I've changed my reasoning on childhood obesity because generally pediatricians aren't very good about getting kids to lose weight. People who run diet workshops and these kinds of things actually are better than we are. But recently, I think it's been shown that if you show a child how they're growing on a growth chart and they can see that they're obese and give them a healthier lifestyle to follow, like diet and exercise, without being real specific, those two principles of diet and exercise are very, very important for lifestyle changes. And obesity is you need to have lifestyle changes in dealing with that, actually, disease, I think.
Do you ever, as a doctor for young people, suggest the special camps run by some of these organizations or programs like Weight Watchers or Diet Workshop?
I do, because, again, I think, generally speaking, those programs are better equipped to be successful. It depends on each individual patient, but I also try to get a feel for whether I can work with the child specifically, how amenable he or she is to that, or whether, you know, a referral may be a better resource. The dietitians do a fairly good job with children who are overweight. So it depends on the circumstance and each individual patient.
How do you deal with a situation, I mean, childhood obesity would be one, maybe smoking would be another one, where it's clear that the parent's lifestyle has a direct effect on what's going on with the child?
That's an interesting question. Actually, let's go back. When we see children in infancy for a first or a second visit, we take a very, very detailed family history. That's very, very important. There are some family histories that are important for genetic disease. And then we also take a social history. And I asked in my social history, are there any smokers in the house? Does anybody own a firearm that's kept in the house? Are there grandparents living in the house? I want to know the social structure of this family because it gives me a better idea of the dynamics of the family. And since doctors don't make house calls anymore, it gives me a better idea of what's going on inside the house. I asked at the first visit if there's any psychiatric or mental illness in the family because there are links that we need to understand that certain biochemical disorders in terms of mental health are familial. So a very careful history from the beginning is important. That's recorded. And it also gives the parent then a chance to go back to it if they want to and to, you know, revisit it at other times where it may be appropriate. They're usually dealing in infancy with more important issues, but it's also important to have on the record so that we can refer back to it and get back at a later time. Smoking, you brought up, is a big, big issue, especially for allergic children. Someone who is allergic should not be smoking, should not be exposed to secondhand smoke in the house. And we actually think that the incidence of childhood asthma has increased over the last 10 to 20 years because of indirect smoke.
Dr. Solomon, what resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to investigate some of these issues a little more?
Actually, parents can get a lot of resources in their doctor's offices. I mentioned in our office we have advice sheets for almost any topic that you would like to discuss. And those advice sheets are sponsored by our American Academy of Pediatrics. The American Academy of Pediatrics has an excellent website at www.aap.org. And I invite your listeners to visit that website. On that website, there is a wonderful Bright Futures site which deals with all kinds of developmental issues and public health issues and illness issues and chronic disease issues, and it's an excellent resource for parents.
Well, you have been an excellent resource for parents, and we are sorry that the doctor's time is up and our time is up. But Dr. Herbert Solomon, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Linda and Sandy. A pleasure.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 206. Tell us if you can what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Washington, D.C. with Kids is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our special thanks to Bonneville International Corporation for their generous donation in support of this show. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.